The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, and we are in the WYSL studios with Bob Savage.
Hello all.
So man, it is whipping out there. This wind is pretty feisty.
How windy was it?
Yeah.
So windy, I saw the Burger King and he had his Whopper lashed to the flagpole. I saw Ronald McDonald and he had to use a paperweight on his quarter pounder.
There you go. Yep. So it's whipping pretty hard out there. My my home alarm system actually went off.
No kidding. Wow.
It must have hit the door so hard.
You know, shaking it or something.
Yeah, that the sensor actually thought that the door was open. So I got that lovely surprise about half an hour ago, getting the phone call. Hey, you know, your alarm system's going off. And, you know, so yeah, it's supposed to be up to 55 mile per hour winds.
I think they've had gusts someplace. So in the noon news, I thought I heard a gust 62 somewhere.
Yeah. So it's whipping out there pretty good up here in western New York. So last show we talked about education. We talked about financial literacy. We might touch on some of that stuff towards the end of the show, but I don't think we're going to get there today because we've got a lot of government blunders to talk about today. But before I do that, I want to welcome you guys all to the show. Thank you so much to everybody who is listening both on the radio waves and online. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to give us a call on the show. Give us your comments, your questions. That's 585-346-3000. Or you can comment on the live stream. I'll check it between breaks, and we'll get to that. We've also got some cool Radio Free New York swag. I'll post that in the comments if you guys want a hoodie or T-shirt. Today's a good day for the hoodie. You know, last time it was warm outside. Today's a good day for the hoodie. So
we're going to have a Radio Free New York string bikini when it gets all sunny and nice?
Or? You know, I don't know about that, but it wouldn't be too bad to promote the show, I guess, if we could get a couple people wearing those. You know, good publicity, bad publicity. I'm not sure which one that would be, but, you know.
Just spell our name right. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what AOC is all about, just publicity.
Yeah.
Attention from the media.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, I kind of feel like conservatives in general probably give her way more media than she deserves, because every time she does something, you know, it gets brought up, it gets shared like on every news outlet, they make a meme about her. And I mean, she's getting the type of press and media that Trump was able to generate during his election, because same type of thing. He his team actually, so probably a lot of people don't know this, I hope I'm not gonna like ruin this for some people, I went to a training down in DC. And I actually got to meet some of the people that worked, we'll say, for his social media team. And they were teaching social media class. And one of the things that they noticed is if he misspelled something in a tweet, the media would jump all over it, and the fundraising would shoot through the roof. So they would actually plan out.
They would deliberately misspell?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. They would. Remember, where was it? Kerfuffle or something like that, or kerfuffle?
Kefeffi.
Kefeffi, yeah. That was planned. That was a media ploy. Like, and it worked perfectly. The media played perfectly into their hands. I don't know that AOC is doing it on purpose, but she's getting the same result. So people got to be careful.
Well, she's getting some results that ultimately I think are going to be the kind of results she doesn't like, because now, because she's so gaffe prone and she's obviously so ignorant about even the way that government works. I mean, apparently she thinks there's three branches of government in the legislative branch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that. I remember reading it. But same thing there, though. You know,
well, Democrat Party is now starting to circle the wagons a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're trying to come up with some means by which she and some of the other maybe more loony members in the delegation could be, you know, roped in, controlled a little bit.
Or removed, either one. I mean, I know there's already talk of primarying her, and she's only been in, like, sworn in, what, like 30 days or something. So, yeah, but I think in general, she gets way more press than deserved because people get, you know, and rightly so.
Tempting target.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, she's a very easy target. Absolutely.
When she 100%. Comes out and says some of the things that she says, I mean, it's, and she's this freshman congressman that's been very highly touted by the party. So naturally, there's going to be a reaction.
Yeah, she's not necessarily the poster child, but pretty close. So, yeah, no, I get that. So I was on Facebook earlier today, believe it or not. I use it. Actually, it's funny. I don't use Facebook or social media as much as people probably think. They probably assume since I'm a younger guy, I've got a smartphone that, man, I must be like on social media all the time. And ironically, I'm not. Maybe like twice a day I'll go through. Ironically, Facebook in general, and Facebook did not sponsor the show or anything like that. It's kind of a good place to get news. And when I say to get news, I don't mean somebody posts some random sketchy article and like that's where you get your information. It's a good place to get a pulse of where people are sharing news that already exists, what might be relevant to your community, or maybe not. Maybe it's national, but it kind of gives you a good pulse as to like what's being shared around, what's trending, like things that people are seeing are important. Twitter does a decent job of this as well, but I think Facebook is just a little more prevalent. So occasionally in the morning, I'll go through there and I'll find news articles about stuff I had no idea was going on, whether it's locally or whether it's nationally, statewide, whatever. And I came across this post where there's a business that wants to put up a sign in this area. They've purchased the property. They're building a building. And the zoning in the city, they're fighting them on it, saying you can't have an illuminated sign. Now, and for me, I see a lot of zoning as restrictions of use of your personal property that you've purchased. Now, I will start this off by saying you shouldn't be able to do things with your property that impact the quality of life of the people around you. So, you know, don't dump bad stuff in the creek that your neighbor's dog drinks out of, or, you know, like that sort of thing. Don't play loud music late at night. That impacts people's sleep, stuff like that. But
don't build a structure that's so inappropriately large that you block, you know, natural light or.
Yeah, yeah. You know, kind of like basic courtesy type things. So in general, I see a lot of zoning as really overly restrictive, typically hurts people. Restricts their rights to use their property. So I saw this this post, and one of the people that live in kind of the general vicinity of the store was like, yeah, we need to stop this. We need to make sure they can't have a sign. And then they referenced, yeah, this other place, their sign was taken down. We should take this person's sign down too. And it started to become almost like a crowd mentality, like, yeah, let's go get rid of these signs, you know. And then there was one person who piped up and was like, hey, you know, this sign doesn't impact my quality of life any. I think this is wrong. And people kind of like attacked this person on it a little bit and were like, no, it's bad. Our neighborhood can't look good with it. And like these things that weren't necessarily true. And then later somebody brought up that sign that you guys said was taken down wasn't even taken down. I drove by it. It's still there. So the whole kind of like premise that a group of people can decide what you can and cannot do with your property.
Yeah, it's called NIMBYs, not my backyard.
Yeah, exactly, NIMBYs. Yeah, absolutely. The idea that they can, like, lobby and decide to use government force to remove your physical property from your yard when it doesn't harm anybody, I've got an issue with that. I do. And hopefully some reason will work through this. But I already saw people kind of running to the rescue saying, no, we're getting the neighborhood association on this. We're going to make sure this doesn't happen. And the thing about it is we're literally talking about a business that's going to bring jobs to your area, maybe within walking distance of your home, maybe. And you're already trying to, like, impede that process. And it just kind of goes back to we shouldn't be using government as force. And that's what these people are trying to do.
Yeah, well, what they're doing is they're perverting the sentiment for the greater good.
Yeah,
because really, what it amounts to is not for the greater good, but for my interests.
Yep, yep. So, so that definitely stuck out to me. The other thing that I saw was New York has a law about how bright your lights can be as being proposed along the same lines there. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some things being proposed that I really hope Cuomo's not paying attention to, because if he is, they might try to bring it to New York too. So we're going to take a break here on Radio Free New York. We'll be back in a moment.
We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. Great pizza, fresh and good. Simply the best in your neighborhood. Come in, we'll get to know you. Call you by name. We can bring it to you any time of the day. Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like family.
This is Dom Genova, owner of Genesee Valley Motors in Avon, your no-nonsense car dealer. Well, we're your no-nonsense truck dealer, too, selling Rams and Fords up to the mightiest that they make. And we have a shop with Master Techs open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., 6 days a week, even Saturday, so you can get your truck serviced when it's not billing hours for you. You may not be used to that. Visit RochesterWorkTrucks.com. That's RochesterWorkTrucks.com.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, joined in studio by Mr. Bob Savage. And so as I alluded to before the break, it is just open season for bad ideas.
Now, I wonder what could you be thinking of?
Oh, my goodness. So there's so many of them. So I'm just going to start with New Jersey, right? And for those of you who are like, what are you talking about, Andrew? I'm talking about laws that are being proposed across the country. We'll see if we get to some in New York, but my fear is that the New York State Legislature is going to see some of these laws and go, huh, that's a good idea. Let's propose that in New York, too.
Oh, that, I think that happens all the time already.
Yeah, so I'm really worried about this. Before we talk about this law in New Jersey, I want to welcome Jim, Melody, and Rod to the show. I see you guys signed in online. Thank you so much for that. Rod, I'll see if I can get to your question a little bit later in the show. So stay tuned, and I'll maybe read that a little bit later. So the very first law that's being proposed, now I've heard of this being proposed in other places. I think Georgia, maybe Atlanta specifically, might have it, or they proposed it. The idea of a rain tax.
It's in Maryland.
Because, oh, Maryland.
Yeah,
okay.
Because of the Chesapeake watershed.
There you go. Yep. So what they're proposing in New Jersey, and it's not all 100% clear, unfortunately, but these things aren't usually until they go to court. They want to tax the surface area that you cover on your property. So at first, as I was reading this, I was thinking driveway, sidewalk, like that sort of stuff. Although sidewalk is probably technically municipal owned. But then as I was reading some of the research and articles on it, well, is that your roof, your garage, your shed? That covers, you know, that creates runoff. So that piece was already unclear, but their idea here is that by taxing the surface area of the ground that you cover, it'll help with the pollution, the pollutants that might wash into the sewers. So they have to treat this water to clean it and all of that. So the bill itself doesn't actually create a tax for this, but instead what it does is it gives the authority to the municipalities to create whatever tax, mm-hmm. fines, or fees for it. So you can already think where that's going.
Yeah, this is a way station as we progress towards a carbon tax.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So then the next thing, as I start doing a little more research, start reading this a little bit more, I see that New Jersey needs a $15.6 billion repair to their stormwater system. And what are they saying? Oh, this could help pay for that. So really what they're doing, what they're looking at, is coming up with ways to increase property tax. Really, that's what this is. This is finding a loophole in property tax to raise another $15.6 billion out of their taxpayers, out of their citizens, to cover something that they probably didn't build right to begin with.
Well, they certainly didn't maintain it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Look at the New York's roads and bridges and infrastructure. What they're doing is they're robbing all of the tax revenues that are supposed to go into these dedicated trust funds, and they're spending it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So so I can just think, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so we've literally taxed the crap out of everybody in New York already. And Cuomo is making this big deal about we've got this $2.8 billion gap. Somebody's going to propose it. Somebody's going to go, wait, we can tax the rain that falls from the sky? That's a brilliant idea. Let's
yep.
do that.
Isn't that
so
great?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that that's going to happen. And, you know, I'll bring in one thing that I saw that I think somebody from New York City proposed. And this ties back into the zoning we talked about in the first segment, that it will be illegal or fineable. You can get fined for having your lights on outside of your house at certain hours of the night. I think it's 11 to like 4 a.m. or something like that. And also there'll be restrictions on how bright the lights are allowed in your house. Now, here's the thing. Maybe for some places this is an okay idea. Maybe. I'll just give the benefit of the doubt there. Tell that to rural farmers in upstate New York, though, who need lights in their field when they go out at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that. Like, if you and your community collectively come together and decide that maybe you consider this a quality of life issue. I don't know. But you and your community come together and you all agree, yeah, you know what? We're not going to have our lights on outside. I don't know why. I mean, I grew up in the city my whole life. We had motion sensor lights everywhere because people would come into your property and try to steal stuff. I know that's not the case everywhere, but that was an issue for us. But say your community decides that's okay. You shouldn't push on everybody else's community, too. That's why I have a problem with New York City's going to maybe pass this law and then it'll be illegal for farmers to have their lights on outside. Like,
well, New York City doesn't have jurisdiction over the rural areas
no,
of the state.
No, I think it's a representative from New York City proposing a state law.
Okay.
Yeah, so like right. maybe it's a big deal to them because they're in so close vicinity. Maybe they even agree. You know, I don't know. I'm not from there.
This is a state law proposal or is this something in Congress?
I don't think it's in Congress. I hope it's not in Congress. That would be. Are we thinking about that person who we were talking about in the first segment there?
Like, no, well, not necessarily. I'm just thinking there are a lot of members of the assembly in particular who hail from New York City who are not qualified to work at a
yeah.
fast food restaurant.
Sure.
This
yeah.
is literally the only thing that they can do with their lives and earn anything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They have zero skills.
Yeah. 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 Their skills are holding on to a job that many times doesn't have any term limits and then voting for their own race. I mean, give them credit for that. They got that figured out.
Yeah. And they've just voted themselves a 60% pay increase, which is going to turn into about a 250% pay increase if the trajectory of what we know happens
yeah.
happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Now that the Democrats have full majority, of every branch of state government, basically.
It's a little banana republic with the frozen bananas.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that was the first one. I've got a couple other ones, but before we talk about that, I don't know if I'm gonna have enough time for this. We'll find out. We'll dive right into it. I was having a conversation with my wife the other day, and we were talking about a conversation she was having with somebody that was in one of the school districts. And the conversation was kind of along the lines of, you know, people often offer us help, but it's not necessarily help that the students need. And I'll just – I mean, she gave me the example, but I want to kind of, like, keep this private so whoever offered this help doesn't, like, you know, get angry. But as an example, you know, somebody said, hey, I'll come teach your students hang gliding. Like, won't that be great? That'll be really good for the kids. And the school's like, well, we don't have hang gliders. We don't have any of these things. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you – why don't you have hang gliders? Like, this, the kids should have this. I'll teach them. You get the hang gliders. And the school's like, no, like, we can't spend funds on this. Like, you know, so kind of like that thing. Like, people.
How old are the kids we're talking about?
Hang gliders is just an example. The thing that they were talking about was age relevant.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I'm trying to. It was
hypothetical.
Yeah. It was something that was really outside the scope of education that this person felt would help enrich the students. In the way that they thought would help these students. And the school's like, yeah, that would be amazing, but we, like, it's not part of our education track. I'm sure it would help kids somehow, but we don't have the means to do so. And apparently this happens often. People offer things that just don't line up with what their ability is to give to the students. And the conversation kind of, like, dovetailed into, well, sometimes this happens with advice. Right. People give advice that maybe it's good advice, but it doesn't fix the problem. And I feel like Trump did that with us recently. And so Trump did this thing. I'm sure everybody's seen it all over where Trump said people who live in upstate, you should leave. I don't know if you saw that or not. He did it once in 2017. He just did it again to kind of like shoot at Cuomo, which I'm right there with you on that. You know, you won't catch me. And I'm not saying it's bad advice. Yeah, probably if upstate just up and left like that, that would make a sense. We already are. We're losing hundreds of thousands of people every year.
Million people since the last census.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we're losing so many people. My just general issue is, and I want to just start the conversation for people to think about this, is that it doesn't really help us. You know, and so one of the things I want to start this with is it's very easy to go around and say, well, if you really wanted to help us, you should ... In this situation, I think maybe Trump could help. And one of the ways he could help just right out of the gate is if you're an FFL, a federal firearms licensed dealer, the ATF protects you from state laws that would infringe on Second Amendment rights. But us common folk aren't. And I feel that that's something that we could ask for out of our federal government instead of the idea that we need to uproot and leave, which I'm not saying is the wrong answer, but I'm also not saying it's the right answer. It would be nice if the federal government protected all of our rights, just not those of us who have special licenses. I would love to also see, like, a national effort on term limits, not just for Congress, but for all these people we're talking about, like our governor. You know, I think Assembly has term limits, if I remember correctly. But some county ledge seats don't. Some city council seats don't. Some mayoral seats don't. And the argument could maybe be made that the federal government would be overstepping by pushing for that. I don't know if that's true.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
There's a little concept called federalism. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Any powers not specifically enumerated to the federal government are reserved to the states.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I don't see why we can't push for it on a national level. Talk about the issue. Talk about, you know, yeah, we know it sucks here in upstate New York. We're taxed to oblivion. It's really hard to do business here. Why don't we talk about how much better it would be if we had term limits? You know, like that sort of thing. And
well, it's going to require a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. Well, yeah, but not to talk about it. You could just talk about it. I mean, he's got, you know, Twitter, which we talked about earlier, how effective he's been with that. You know, I think that if we talked about these things, we could make them better just by shedding light on the issue. Talk about things like making politicians have to wear the names of their donors on their sleeves like NASCAR drivers. Like, that would be huge for Congress. Could you imagine, you know, you're sitting there watching Congress vote on a bill, and the Congress people who are voting for, you know, we'll call it big oil, because I don't know, a lot of people don't like big oil nowadays, and they've got big oil all over their jersey that they're wearing, and they're like, yes, I'll vote for big oil. And they're like, yeah, of course, look at all the big oil, you know, sponsorships all over your shirt. Of course. I think these are the things that would make not just New York better, but us better. As
Hillary Clinton's pantsuit would say, Russian oligarchs all over.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. You know, big Russia or something like that.
So what's the big Russian gas company? Gazprom.
There you go. Yep. So, yeah, so I saw that this morning. I saw Trump yet again said, hey, if you're in New York, you know what would be really good for you? If you left New York. And I was like, I don't disagree with that at all, but I want to change the conversation. I want to talk about how we can make it better and maybe what he could do to help us get there. I don't know. So we're going to take a quick break here, guys, on Radio Free New York, and we'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to the Voice of Liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
At University Eye Specialists, I see many patients who suffer from dry, irritated, or itchy eyes. Sometimes these symptoms are often due to severe dry eye. Over-the-counter eye drops often help, but sometimes dry eye may require treatment with prescription medication. Dry eye is a very treatable medical condition that should be taken very seriously. The health of your eyes is very important to us. Please feel free to call any one of our local offices for an appointment.
In America, we are living longer, healthier lives. The longer we live, the more likely we are to develop eye conditions such as glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic eye disease. If you are over the age of 40, it's important to have a thorough eye examination in order to identify vision-threatening conditions at an early stage. At University Eye, we have the technology and experience to screen for and to treat glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy. At University Eye, your vision is our mission.
Phone 1-800-724-0938.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
We are back with Andrew C. Hollister.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thank you for joining us here on Radio Free New York. I want to welcome Tony, Eric, Frank, Randy, and Chris to the show. Thank you guys so much for signing in here. We've been talking about just kind of a whole myriad of things, but the last thing I brought up on the show was that Trump said, hey, you know, what's good for the people in New York is leaving New York. And I don't necessarily disagree with him.
I think he literally meant that, though. Do you? I mean, I think wasn't he just tweaking Cuomo?
Probably, but there's truth to it. You know, when you look at it, you go, yeah, a lot of people leave this state for better opportunity. We're taxed like no tomorrow here. Our businesses are regulated out of existence. Our education really isn't that great. There are areas that we excel in. But overall, a lot of people, and when I say a lot of people, we talk about a million in the last 8 years, have decided, no, New York's not that great, and they left. And actually more than a million, because we had people moving into the state as well. So a net loss of a million. We've lost many, many more than that, but some people have moved back or moved in. So naturally, somebody on Cuomo's team had to respond to this. They did. And so their response was, several surveys over the last 2 years have shown upstate cities like Albany and Buffalo have become hotspots for millennials drawn by, wait for it, comparatively low housing costs.
Yeah, it's true. That's true, but it's offset, more than offset, by the property taxes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. But I think what they maybe didn't realize is why housing costs go down. When they made the statement. Now, they also said and job opportunities at the end of that. I'll include that.
Wow.
I I don't believe that for a second. New York State Department of Labor statistics on your own website disagrees with your statement. But the low housing cost is actually relatively true. The thing is, the housing costs are low because the neighborhoods aren't doing well.
Because there's no way to earn a living in upstate New York.
There's no jobs there for people to live off of. So
yeah, you eliminate certain categories like healthcare and education. You know, people who work for the colleges, people who work for the school systems, people who work for government.
Yeah.
There's not much.
No, there really isn't. And even like if you look at federal government, right now federal government employs one in every 7 people. So you got 6 people left. How many are, you know, now employed by healthcare, education, or local government? I bet you it's a hefty number of those remaining 6 people.
Number one billing radio station in the country.
Yeah. Yep.
WTOP in Washington, D.C.
There you go.
And they have an AM station, the call letters of which are WFED. And it's programming that's entirely aimed at federal workers.
Interesting. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. So. More than stations in New York or Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I did not know that. Yeah. So when I saw that response, I was like, wow, they're just so out of touch with the people in upstate that they don't realize, yeah, housing's cheap here because people don't have jobs. The neighborhoods are run down. We always, like, hate on the roads, but the roads are really bad up here, too. They are awful.
Oh, my gosh.
I recently did some traveling. I do a lot of road traveling, and it's like right when you cross the New York State border, you instantly know it. Like, all the rust starts shaking right off your car because it's like driving on a rumble strip.
Yep.
On, you know, our highways. And there's a couple sections that are good. I'm not saying everything's that bad. But there's a noticeable difference when you go from other states and you come into ours. The first thing you see is like a line of state troopers ready to take your money.
Yep.
And awful, awful roads.
Yep, exactly. That's those guys with the light bars on top of their cars. Unfortunately, and this is not their fault, but they're New York's new tax collectors.
Yeah.
I had a friend who drove from Florida to Rochester. Mm. You know, so yep. Up through, you know, Georgia and then the Carolinas and yep. Tennessee and Kentucky and then Ohio. And maybe he went the eastern route, so he went through Pennsylvania. I'm not sure. But went the entire distance and he crossed over into New York State. But it was the eastern route because he went through Binghamton and up to Syracuse. Between the New York line south of Binghamton and Syracuse, all of a sudden, 4 people pulled over.
Yep. Yep.
Getting tickets.
Yeah. Actually, I have a family member who used to live in Atlanta. And we would occasionally, once a summer, you know, drive down there. And that is the exact experience. We drive all the way down. I forget what it was, 18 hours maybe? 18-hour trip.
Yeah, that sounds right. I used to live in Tennessee. It was 14, so.
Yeah. So 18-hour trip, maybe 16 if you took a few less stops. Nothing the whole way there. But through New York and back to New York.
Boom.
I mean, they're just there in the just set up all, you know, it's like, how did I drive like 2,000 miles and not see a single sheriff car, local PD, state trooper in any other state? But as soon as I get to New York, there's like 7 of them in the first mile. It's a revenue machine. That's what it is. And that's not to say that, you know, police shouldn't be a revenue machine. That shouldn't be their purpose at all. And it's not like this is meant to be like anti-cop or something like that. It's just the facts that New York State uses, that income to bridge the gap in budgets.
Well, you know, you talk to the police, and I think that if they're being candid with you, they will admit that for the most part, people who are driving are law-abiding. Now, sure. You're always going to have the contingent of drunk drivers and yeah. People who have substance abuse problems. But I mean, it's not like a free-for-all out there.
Yeah.
Where we have to be. And the cost of a traffic summons these days is really punitive.
Yeah, except for that New York State surcharge that they tack on. Was that now, $100 or something?
I don't know.
Like that?
I haven't gotten a ticket in a long while.
But it's like you get a $12 ticket and there's a $100 New York State surcharge on it. So.
Yep, anything that they can do. Right?
Yep.
Because this is how how they avoid raising taxes even more is they just get their money through fees. And
yep. Yep, absolutely. Speaking of fees and them trying to get their money, Cuomo is now threatening to raise the subway fares by 30% if they can't pass additional fees on congestion pricing. So this largely impacts New York City, to be honest. But there is a piece that impacts us. So for those of you who might not be familiar with what's going on, New York State, the MTA, the subway down in New York City is just abysmal. They have so many issues. They have lines that need to be repaired. But it's what a lot of people use for their daily commute. They don't use a car. The people who do use a car, and especially like taxis and Ubers, they're basically trying to tax them for usage of the roads additional. So this idea of congestion pricing came out, which is like, if you use the roads, you're going to pay even more now so that less people can afford to drive. I mean, that's really what it is. It's kind of like a tax to keep poor people off the roads, I guess, is the best way I can explain it.
Isn't this the mode of government in New York State and in most of the other blue states as well? What they try to do is they try to control behavior,
yep.
public behavior, by using taxation.
Yeah.
That is not the proper function of taxation.
Yeah. Government, for that matter.
Or government.
Yeah.
But I mean, yep. taxation is supposed to be used to pay for the actual cost of government.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to train us. You know, on the papers, Andrew. No, not there. Over on the papers. Yeah. No, you know, they try to tax, you know, cigarettes to a degree that
yep.
makes
yep.
it prohibitive to get cigarettes.
Yeah.
And all you do is you drive everybody into a black market.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So literally, Cuomo's saying, well, if you don't pass this tax that's going to make it even harder for the average person to use the road and only rich people will be able to afford it, we're going to raise these fees somewhere else. And the thing about this is Cuomo already said that this was going to be paid for. He said he would pay half, and de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, would pay half, which neither of them are actually writing a check. And by the way, it's $800 million that we're talking about here. And when Cuomo said he was paying for half, what he meant was upstate New York.
Yeah, right.
Who doesn't use the MTA at all. We're the ones kicking in $400 million, which apparently isn't enough because now he's trying to raise additional taxes to cover this plan. So off to a really, really bad start. My guess is they use the Common Core math to come up with their numbers, and that's why they are.
We got to pay for the Mario Bridge somehow. Yeah, yeah, it was just $6 billion,
yep, which yep. we and did. And the demo of the Tappan Zee.
Didn't need to spend.
Yeah, yeah. So you had mentioned DWI, and it's funny that you mentioned that because we're going to roll into the next thing that hopefully New York State doesn't pick up on that another state's proposing, because I'm sure they'll see this and go, ooh, we can do that. Oklahoma has decided that they're going to increase the cost of ride sharing to cover DWI programs. So they're proposing an additional 20% tax on top of what they already have on rideshare programs. So I don't know what it is currently. I think in New York it's like 18% or something.
Really?
So yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what Oklahoma has, but they're saying an increase of 20% tax on it to pay for a new DUI program.
What about taxi operators? What about bus operators? They kicking in too?
I'm not sure. That part wasn't clear, but I think this is more targeted towards like Uber and Lyft.
Right. So why discriminate like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely. It's totally discriminatory, first off. But second is, it's going to increase the cost of rideshare, right? That's like the big deal. Like rideshare just became affordable because of this stuff. So like, oh, well, there's a gap here. Let's fill that gap with taxes. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are coming out, and I happen to be one of these people, they agree, saying, but rideshare is what people choose so that they don't drive. so that they're not driving right, drunk.
So let's provide a disincentive for them to have an Uber to take home when they're blotto.
Yeah, exactly. So now you're drunk and you're like, oh, maybe I can't afford an Uber now, and maybe you try to drive instead. It's literally punishing people for trying to do the right thing. So the representative who proposed this, people said, like, hey, you're going to make rideshare more expensive, and by doing that, you're probably going to have more DUIs and DWIs. So his response was, well, I can't control what a rideshare service chooses to do in response. My hope is that they'll
what
be willing
What do you think they're going yeah. to do in response? Do you think they're just going to say, oh, well, you know what? I'm just not going to raise. I'll just take money out of my own pocket to enable these politicians.
Yeah.
That's insane.
He goes on to say, my hope is that they'll be willing to become a committed partner in ensuring that more Oklahomans get home safely, whether that's during a surcharge pricing or not.
Proving once again that there are a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people in government who are just so incredibly clueless.
Oh, yeah.
They have no idea how business or economics works.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the program that they had here in New York where they said, oh, you know what we'll do? We'll improve the employment and decrease unemployment by providing an incentive. We'll give employers $6,000 for every new job that they create. What do they think, that we're stupid?
Yeah.
So we're going to hire a $40,000 a year person we don't need to get a $6,000 tax break?
Yep. Yeah.
That's not the way business works.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, you see it with programs like Startup New York. That was an abysmal failure. So Representative Bell was asked to address the concern of punishing people who are trying to be responsible for avoiding drinking and driving. And he did not respond.
No, because he never thought that far about it. No. All right, Radio Free New York, all your rights, all the time, will return on the WYSL stations, FM 92.1, the new FM 95.5 West, and News Power 1040 AM, WYSL. From Avon Feed and Supply, introducing Dry Shod waterproof footwear. Dry, comfortable feet, even on those warmer days. Avon Feed has a big selection of Dry Shod for men and women, offering fully flexible athletic shoe sizing for great fit and maneuverability. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has with a big pet chain stores will never have Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard-to-find mean and nasty, plus once again nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply, West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the Circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys, we are back here on Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister. We've got Bob Savage here with us in studio as well. And I want to welcome a few more people to the show. Looks like Jay signed in, and Nico, hi, and Buffalo Will on Twitter. That's a cool name. I'm sure that's not his real name. We've also got Barbara, Steven, Kevin. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on the show. Definitely, if you guys have any comments or anything that you want to bring in or any questions, I'll actually hit Rod asked a question at the beginning of the show, and he said, hey, what's up with Amazon? He said, it looks like they might be going elsewhere. I hear that the politicians in that aren't very welcoming to them.
Is he talking about New York City, or is he talking?
I think that he's talking about New York City. So I don't actually, I haven't heard anything about it changing, but I know that there's been some major issues with Amazon. First being, everybody's really upset about it. I mean, even down in New York City, people on the left who very much support Cuomo came out against him on it. So people in general, upstate, downstate, left, right, middle, everywhere in between, in general, were very upset with the deal. very upset. $3 billion going to, what is he, the second richest guy in the world right now? Jeff Bezos.
Pre-divorce.
He's making some good money. So people were pretty upset about that. Then to top it off, one of Cuomo's buddies was the guy who owned the firm that Amazon hired as a consultant to help them integrate and build and all this other stuff. So
no way.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No. Yeah. That's what happened. So
nothing happens in this state until you grease a Cuomo.
Yep. So I know that that also had a huge amount of uproar. People are really upset about that. And Cuomo's like, "What do you mean? I'm not getting the money. It must be fine."
Right.
And so I don't know that anything's changed with Amazon, but I know that people are really upset about it. And some of Cuomo's lackeys, if you will, some of his, the elected officials have spoken out against it, but nothing that actually means anything. Just kind of like virtue signaling, like, yeah, that was a bad idea. We should have known about it type thing, but no real change.
And also there, but for the grace of God, go I, because, I mean, so many members of the Cuomo administration have gone to the clink for pay to play.
Yep. And I mean, here's the thing. I was listening to a show the other day. I don't remember what the show was, but they were talking about how when any party has absolute power in an area, corruption ensues. And they're like, listen, in New York today, it happens to be the Democrats.
Yeah, I think that was Julie Jordan's husband, Jeff.
Was it? Okay.
Jeff DePalma. He made that comment. Yeah, when you've got a one-party system, what you have is the old Soviet Union.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we're going to have here in New York. Our corruption is going to increase even more, which is hard to believe because we've been ranked number one for corruption in the nation for 10 years now or something like that.
What we do have.
Yeah. So now we're just going to blow those statistics right out of the water. It's very upsetting. So we talked about Oklahoma, and their idea of how to fund their DUI programs is to punish people who are trying to not drink and drive.
Beyond stupid.
Yep. Well, in Connecticut, the newly elected representatives in Connecticut, one of which is 22 years old. So good for him. That's amazing, getting elected to state legislator at 22 years old. I think he's the youngest, definitely the youngest in the state to ever get elected at that age. Might be in the nation. I'm not sure.
There's an 18-year-old mayor somewhere.
Yeah. But this is like state level. So I don't know. But yeah, I know there's been a couple 18-year-old mayors. So him and another freshman representative have proposed a 50% tax on ammunition. Now, that sounds awful, but they're calling it a public health measure. So now it's okay. It's okay. It's for public health.
See my previous comment about trying to shape and direct people's behavior using tax.
Yep, and that's exact. And they're not even trying to hide it. And in fact, what they literally said was, "Well, it's just like a cigarette tax." That's literally what they said. They said, it's like a cigarette tax. We tax cigarettes to help people make better decisions about their health. We want to do the same thing with ammunitions. And
what do they think? Do they honestly think that criminals are going to pay the tax on the ammunition?
Well, not only that. I mean, so here's the thing. They go, well, of course, we're going to exempt military, as if the military is going to buy their ammo from, Connecticut, but we'll exempt military and law enforcement so they won't have to pay the tax.
Now, there's a tax I'd be scared of Andy Cuomo noticing and emulating.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's ridiculous.
You look at this, and my thing is this. These taxes do nothing to curb crime, nothing to curb shootings.
Of course not.
At all. Nothing. All it says is, we're okay with crime, we're okay with shooting, if you can afford a 50% tax. That's literally the message that's being sent.
Well, it's just a stupid thing to do. First of all the people in Connecticut will just buy their ammo in another state.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And that's the thing that these people just don't understand. They're trying to, create habits and change culture by basically creating a two-tiered system, the haves and the have-nots.
Exactly.
Those who can afford it and those who can't. And maybe we'll do a show about this. There's actually a really, really good explanation of how gun control in general is largely racist. The origins of it. And
no
it
question.
Goes back to California and a whole bunch of stuff. We could probably dedicate a whole radio show to it. But it's turning into not just people of color, although firearm laws in general are used much more against people of color. But now it's just the haves and the have-nots. It's you can afford it or you can't. It's a two-tiered system that we're creating in this nation.
Yeah, McCoy, what the government elites do not like a prosperous, independent middle class because they don't have, they don't need what government wants to sell.
Yeah.
What government is selling is dependence on government because that keeps them in power.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So, and that is exactly what's happening here. I mean, they're building this two-tiered system. They're doing kind of like a, some people would call it backdoor gun confiscation. I wouldn't quite call it that. It's more of just making it so expensive that you can't afford to have it to begin with. But that's literally what they're doing. And I've just, when you think that they've finally ran out of things, it's, no, they haven't. They come up with new ways to do things, and they create laws that hurt the average law-abiding citizen. And this is a great segue to Ben Wassel, who, he's a military veteran, served multiple tours for our country, he's combat disabled, and he was the first guy arrested under the SAFE Act. And, he's got a family. I was saying that
What was his alleged transgression? What, did he have too many rounds in his mag?
No, I think that he sold a firearm, I think is what it was.
Oh, one of these deals where this firearm was perfectly legal last Thursday.
Yep.
But now all of a sudden it's a felony to have it.
And not just that the person who was seeking the firearm was an undercover state trooper, which just reeks of go out and find somebody so we can make an example with this law. And that's exactly what happened. He has an appeal for his court case on February 28th, 9 a.m. That's at the courthouse on 50 East Avenue in Rochester. I will personally be there. I think our friends from GOA New York, Gun Owners of America New York, will be there. I believe there's going to be press as well, from my understanding. So I'd ask if you do show up, don't wear profanity on your shirt. Don't do anything that's going to get you kicked out of the courtroom. To be honest, the courtroom's going to be pretty small. Might not even make it in the courtroom. It might be a gathering outside of the court. So be dressed for the weather. Be appropriate. Be polite. Be somebody that they're going to listen to our message. Don't be somebody who's going to be like, oh yeah, the crazies were there, because that's not what we want.
No costumes, no motto shirts, no placards. Just show up in solidarity and be respectful. This is a court of law.
Yeah, absolutely. And my message for this is very simple. The SAFE Act was created as law that actually hurts the average citizen, does nothing to the average criminal. And somebody might say, well, what if what that man did was actually wrong? Let's just say, what if what he did was actually wrong? I'm here to say I oppose a law that wrongfully harms innocent people and just to hopefully catch a bad person. So if the law wrongfully harms innocent people with the hopes to catch one bad guy, I oppose it.
Of course, that's not the function of laws and regulations. That's supposed to, when it comes to guns, it's supposed to safeguard the public.
Yeah.
All these increased waiting periods to buy a gun.
Yeah, 30 days. Yep.
Which turns, practically speaking, into 88 days. All of these ammo purchase limits and all these other things. These don't deter crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop and think about it, folks. A criminal is somebody who doesn't obey the law. Yeah. So you can, by definition, you can pass laws all day long, and criminals will ignore every single one of them.
Yeah. I mean, yes, criminals break the law. That's why they're criminals. So creating a law that hurts law-abiding citizens, that itself should be a crime.
It goes to show that the agenda here is not public safety at all. It's not reduction in crime. It's controlling us.
Correct. Correct. Yep. And speaking of control, Daniel on Facebook says, "No profanity on my t-shirt. Andrew takes the fun out of everything." Sorry, Daniel. We want to present well if the media shows up. We want to be taken seriously. But, you know.
If you want to wear, you know what? From the perspective of lawmakers, what was his name? Dan?
Dan.
Yeah. Dan, if you want to wear profanity on your t-shirt, wear a t-shirt that says Liberty.
There you go. Yep. Yep. Or I oppose the anti-liberty movement. I got to make those shirts, the anti-liberty movement shirts. So, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Free New York. Thanks for the conversation, the banter back and forth on social media. We will catch you guys Monday, same time as usual, 1 p.m. on Radio Free New York.
WYSL 92.1 FM, the new FM 95.5 West, and News Power 1040 AM. We'll see you next time.